Mark chapter number six. Amen. And I've thoroughly enjoyed going through the book of Mark and we have a little ways to go. Amen. But what a tremendous passage we have to cover today. I hope that it is a blessing to you. I trust that it will definitely fall in the lines of all of our lives, what we go through in ministry, especially if you're trying to help anybody at all. You'll bear witness with a lot of things here, and there's something in this text that the Lord did in contrast to the apostles, which is tremendous. And so looking forward to getting to that point. The title today is that God had a plan. Amen. At least that's what I titled it. And so let's go ahead and get started here. Mark chapter 6 and in verse number 30. The Bible says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately." Now, we're going to jump back to in this text to verse number 7, because if you notice in our text, it says that the apostles gathered themselves unto Jesus. And you say, well, why weren't they with him? Well, earlier on, we'll see here that that they were actually sent out two by two. We'll look at that text. And there was a reason why they were sent out, if you recall. And we're going to review that, because this connects this all together very well. Now, between verses 13 and 30 was that text in reference to John the Baptist. And so that took place. But that really was happening kind of in the background, Herod mentioning Jesus, all the details of John the Baptist and what took place there. That was all kind of an insert, if you will, into the text. But it wasn't taken away from the time frame. The time frame's still moving on. And so Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. He did it for a reason, though, which I'll mention in just a minute. If you recall, you might remember, and then kind of show the progression of this text. And so look at verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, "And he called unto him the 12," we're in Mark 6, verse 7, "and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In whatsoever place ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them." Now, if you recall from this particular text, Jesus Christ went, they went into the synagogue, they were teaching him, and he wasn't able to do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And his solution, now you got to get this, here's these religious folk, right? They're religious, but not towards Christ. They severely lacked in faith. The mighty works could not be done. As a matter of fact, in that same text, many were offended at Christ. And that word offense meant basically that they couldn't reconcile in their mind how he could be the Christ, because they grew up with him, they knew him, they knew his family. And so the offense was a stumbling stone. It was a tripping place. They just couldn't get over that. It wasn't like they were offended because he was mean-spirited at all. It was a different offense. The offense was, in their own mind, they're looking at Jesus and saying, how can he be the Son of God? We know him. We grew up with him, in a sense, and all of that. So that offense was there, offense to the gospel message. And so basically, when Christ came in preaching that men should repent, and they were sinners, need to turn to him, and he was the Messiah, they stumbled at that, right? And so we were in Nazareth here, up in Galilee area, and his solution was to send out the apostles and teach. Now, remember, faith cometh by hearing. I think it's time we stop complaining about the lack of spirituality around us and we start doing what? Teaching. The condition was lack of faith, no one believing Jesus was the Messiah. People weren't believing that Jesus was the Son of God. People were unbelievers. Because of that, not many mighty works were being done. The solution was they went out and did what? They taught. Again, let us stop complaining about the issue and let us act as Jesus acted. What our town needs, what our city needs, what our country needs, what our world needs is to be taught the Word of God. We got to stop expecting that people are just going to know what they need taught. No, we teach them. We teach and we preach Jesus. Amen. Now, some aren't going to listen. And what did Jesus say to the apostles? When you come across those that reject the message, what do? Knock the dirt off your feet and travel on. Amen. Go to the next door. That's what he said. And we don't get upset. We don't get, oh man, they didn't listen to me. They hurt my feelings. I tried to tell them something and they didn't believe me. And make it all personal. He didn't say, have a pity party. He didn't say, sit in a corner and suck your thumb. He didn't say, write a nasty gram on your social media. None of that. He didn't say any of that. He said, just knock the dust off your feet and go to the next house. And what are you going to do there? Teach. Teach what? About Jesus. What are you going to teach? It's going to say right here that men should repent. They were teaching and preaching that men were sinners and that Jesus Christ came as the Savior. Amen. He's the Messiah. Amen. And so they were just, that would be the solution. Now, how did it work? That's going to be the question. How did the Lord's plan work? Let's go back to our text. Mark 6, verse number 30. They're coming back from their time out teaching and preaching. And it says in verse 30, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things. What are they telling him? Well, how their trip went. They've been out having a time, door knocking, visiting, talking to people about the Lord, teaching, preaching, all that. They're just coming back and they're telling Jesus how it went. It says both what they had done and what they had taught. So he's telling them what happened. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. He said, you all are wore out. You guys are wore out physically. You guys are kind of drained spiritually a little bit. You guys need to get some rest. Amen. It's been a serious campaign you all have been on. Let's go ahead and come apart and rest for a time. But then it says this, for there were many coming and going. Whoa, this is interesting. Before this campaign, were people seeking out Jesus? Were people interested in the message? Were people responding to the gospel? No, they were unbelievers. Jesus was the one going. Jesus was the one going into the synagogues and the places. He was seeking them out. And they weren't listening. And so he said, what this place needs is some teaching. What this place needs is some preaching. What this place needs is some that'll go out and take the message out, amen, from our group and get out there where they are. That's what this place needs. And the corresponding action to that is now the apostles have come back. They're telling Jesus what's going on. He says, y'all need to go to a desert place where nobody is, amen, and rest a while. He says, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Now, because the people have caught it, amen, now they're getting interested. The interest level is peaked. It is so high that now Jesus and the apostles, they are busy now because everybody keeps coming to them, asking questions, wanting more, wanting to grow. What a problem to have, amen. And they are wore out over it, amen. This is what happened. Number one, it worked. Say, what worked? The Great Commission, which is to go teach, amen. To teach and to preach. It worked. And it wasn't because The times were different then than they are today. As a matter of fact, many similarities from then and now. Amen. It worked. Jesus' plan worked. Why? Because it changed the narrative. Say, what's a narrative? What people are talking about. Right? People talk a lot about sports, politics, problems, jobs, whatever. Right? Hobbies. What these guys did was they changed the narrative to where now what people were talking about was their need of a Savior, was the fact that they were sinners and were called to repentance. The fact that God loved them so much that he sent a cure for their issue. Amen? And that cure's name is Jesus Christ. That's what they were talking about. And now that's on their mind. And now they're acting upon it. So much so, now the apostles can't even get a long enough break to have themselves a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So many people are coming by, amen. So it says that they couldn't eat, not even enough leisure to eat, amen. Praise the Lord, it changed the narrative, amen. Now, this type of ministering, or ministry, as we see here, can absolutely take a physical and spiritual toll on a person, amen. So now that they are returned from this campaign, and Christ says you need to get yourself a break, they're gonna depart. But I want you to see what takes place. This is amazing. Look at verse number 32. Mark 6, verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Okay, so they've come now down, they're Sea of Galilee, they're at the seashore, and they're gonna go. And they're gonna get away for a while. They're gonna go, they're gonna board a boat, go to a place where the cities are not, where the people are not. Amen. And they do. They go there, they hang out, they rest, and as they're resting, Sea of Galilee is not all that big, amen. As they're resting, they see something happening. And what they see happening is that the people that they were interested in talking to the apostles, they're now walking around the seashore. And they're heading to them. Amen. Say, where do you get that from? Well, in our text, let's look back at our text here. Let's begin reading now in verse number 33. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, referring to Jesus, and ran thither out of all cities and outwent them. And came together unto him. So Jesus, of course, departed there with them. And so they're after him. They're after the apostles. They're after Jesus. They're walking. They are so interested now in the message that they are willing to walk around the Sea of Galilee to get to where Jesus and the apostles are. So how did this happen? They went out and they changed the narrative. That's all they did. They just went out and started talking about the things of God. I wonder if that's why we don't have a great move of God in our midst, because we don't talk much about Jesus to those that don't already know him. I can't talk to them about that. They don't know Jesus. Well, that's the very reason why you should talk to them about him. Well, I don't have anything in common with them. We don't have anything in common with people until we do. Does that make sense? That's what changed it, and that's what will change it here for us as well. Now, we have a ministry quandary in this text. The ministers need rest, but the people are primed, and they want to receive it. What do you do? What does a person do? Because there's only so much of us. What does a person do when you're being pulled this way and you're being pulled this way and this person wants to talk and that person's talking? And just while you're talking to that person, then the phone goes off and this happens and that happens and on and on. What does a person do? I'm glad you asked, because Jesus shows us what you do. Amen. Look at verse number 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. They were just looking for someone to help them, someone to lead them in the paths of righteousness. And he began to what? Teach them many things. It's almost like he's practicing what he told them to do. And we already was, amen. But that's the solution. Do you know that that's all we're called to do in the Great Commission? We're called to teach and to preach and then baptize once they receive, right? And then add together, and we all do that same thing. That's all we're called to do. Teach and preach the gospel and the things of the Word of God. Now, watch this text. It says, and as he began to teach them, and he began to teach them many things, verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, it's getting into the evening, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. You say, what are they saying? Well, they're going to go on and explain this in the next couple of verses. But at this point, it's important to note two things. And it's really the different perspectives. We're going to have the perspective of Jesus Christ, and we're going to have the perspective of the apostles. Jesus sees them coming, and it says he was moved with compassion. That meant that he felt their pain. He felt their desire to be led. He knew they were needy. He felt for them, if you will, like we might use a phrase today. The apostles see them coming, and they saw the physical conditions around. They said, wait a second, we are in a desert place. There's no Holiday Inns. There's no Motel 8s. There's no Chick-fil-A's. There's nothing like that around, right? And they said, this is a problem because there's a lot of people and there's no infrastructure here to help them physically. Jesus looked on them and saw and had compassion on them, and he desired to help them spiritually. The apostles looked at them and looked around, and they desired to help them physically. Do you see that? Now, both are important, but the most important is the spiritual. People can go without a meal or two, amen? I know we don't like to think that, right? But people can make it without a meal or two. But people can't make it if they don't have that spiritual bread to eat. And that's what they were experiencing here. Now, I know for us, usually that's what goes first. But for Jesus, that's what is first, is the spiritual need. Watch in verse 36. This is what the apostles said. Verse 36, send them away. That was their solution. Do you see that? The apostles said, send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. That was the apostles' solution. Send them away so they can go get themselves a burger somewhere. Just send them. Tell them to go. Verse 30, and by the way, in the back of their mind, it also might have been a little selfish because they might have been thinking, we're flat whooped. We're tired. We want to go to bed. We don't want to deal with all this, Jesus. Send them away for good reason so they can go take care of themselves physically tonight. We don't have the ability to do that for them tonight. Send them away so they can go do what they got to do, and by the way, so we can do what we got to do. You see that? And this was the apostles' solution. But Jesus said in verse number 37, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. That was his solution. Feed them. And by the way, I think that kind of has a dual meaning. Now, he is going to move to feed them physically. But what Jesus was doing was moving to feed them spiritually. They had meat to eat that they knew not of, amen, that the apostles had no idea of, amen. And so Jesus was trying to feed them with that bread from heaven. You know, sometimes we get so caught up with circumstances around us that we really don't see through the eyes of God the spiritual needs that exist around us, amen. I'll give you a little testimony about our little bushcraft trip, amen. It, by the way, it was a blessing. It always is. And it's the difficulty that makes it a blessing, quite honestly, and learning how to work through things and sleep when it's 20-some degrees out, amen, and survive. I love it. It is absolutely a blessing to overcome those things and just be moved to have to deal with those things and all that comes. It's just wonderful. But we were trying to get on our way on Monday morning. It was Jeremiah, Levi, and I, and we loaded up, and we're making good time. We're going to meet up with Brother Graham. They were at a gas station in Shelbyville. And everything really was clicking along. Everything, I mean, we got out on good time. Everything was moving really well. Amen. And so we meet up with him, and that was good. And we get on our way. And about an hour or so down the road, I had this random thought came to my mind. Jeremiah, I think, was sleeping in the back seat. Amen. And Levi was zoned out, and we were just kind of just, you know, going down the road. It was early morning. We left, I think it was around 7 or so, a little after, and so it's kind of early, and we're just tooling down the road, and all of a sudden, I don't know if you've ever had this happen where a thought just pops in your mind. All of a sudden, it was like God spoke to me and said, you didn't pray before you left. I was like, you're right, Lord. And so I prayed silently. I just was like, I wasn't going to bother everybody else in the truck, and I just prayed silently and cruising down the road. About 10 minutes later, I looked over at Levi. He looked at me, and I was like, did you hear that? He's like, yeah, what was that? We're talking back and forth. And the sound went away. Bonus. Problems don't always fix themselves. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they get worse. Sure enough, it got worse. And there was a bad noise coming from the back end of the truck, the excursion. I'm thinking, what is that noise? We couldn't figure it out, and it was getting bad. And I was like, I gotta pull over. By this point, we're down around on the 275 branch that kind of would go between 74 and 75. I don't know if we were in Ohio, Indiana. We weren't in Kentucky yet, but it switches back and forth there. So I pull over. Brother Graham pulls behind us. He was following us. And by the way, he insisted that we follow each other down. I typically, Dana could attest, I don't really like following people here and there. I think we all have GPS. We all know where we're going. Just get there, amen. We'll meet up there. That's typically my thought. But he insisted. I was like, that's fine. I don't care. And so he followed, and he's pulling a trailer. I'm pulling a trailer. And I pull off, and we get out, and he goes, something wrong? And I was like, yeah. I said, we had this weird noise. We're looking all around. He goes, I don't see anything. And I said, I'm going to get back in and try to move it forward. We'll see what happens. And so I did, and now it's locked. It won't move. It'll just barely move. And I'm like, what is going on? And he said, I think there's something wrong with the left-hand rear tire. And I thought maybe rear end. I didn't know. And so side of the road, we're loaded up for bushcraft. Everything's in. And we're scrounging for a jack. I actually had one. It was buried. He had one. We jacked up that left rear end. And sure enough, that left rear tire, man, it is solid. It ain't budging. It froze on there, and it won't move. So we got together, got our minds together, and we started getting tools together and all that. And so we're getting ready to do surgery on the truck, amen, on the side of the highway with semis flying by us, amen. It's on the roadside. Just so much fun. So we get the tire off, and that drum is just solid. And I begin to notice what happened was the emergency brake mechanism just came apart. It was a million pieces, and there was stuff all lodged in the drum of that brake. I mean, it was big time, like metal just absolutely merged in there, amen? And so we were going to have to pull not only the brake caliper off, we were going to pull the brake caliper assembly off and somehow get this thing off. But I didn't bring tools for this. He didn't bring tools for this, but long and short of it, between the few tools I had and the few tools he had, back and forth, and I mean, this went on for quite a while. We had a bolt stripped. We had all kinds of stuff happening. Through it all, praise the Lord, by the hair of our chinny chin chin, we got the caliper assembly off and then trying to get that drum off. It is solid on there. We couldn't beat it off. Hammers, all that wouldn't touch the thing. It wouldn't move. We ended up with big old pry bars on both sides. We were able to get that thing off. All right. We get it off. We clean it all up. We secured all the loose stuff floating around in there. Deactivated there was no brake system left. It was totally gone. But we had a cable and things there. Deactivated that. Tied it back. All that. Got everything back together. And I think it's like an hour it took to do that. We get back on the road. And we're like, oh, man, it's a lot better. And hit the Polo Group And Kemp came on, he said, I just have a question. He says, did you all forget to pray when you left? He said that. I'm like, I think God's trying to tell us something. And by the way, before we left, on the side of the road, we had a prayer meeting right there. Amen. Before we left, we all huddled around and we called out to God, asked for forgiveness for not. Anyway, go on. So going down the road, we stopped at a gas station, Walmart, got a few things and all that, kept on going down the road. About an hour and a half later, I'm leading, cruising along. I come down this little hill, come back up the other side, hit a little bump, and all of a sudden, my trailer just flies to the right. A wheel flies off that thing. It's going down the highway. The trailer, which has a four-wheeler, all that's going. We're cruising down the highway at 75 miles an hour. Sparks are flying. The tire went flying across lanes of traffic. He's behind me. I somehow pull over to the median. We get that thing stopped, and I'm like, wow, what a day this is becoming, amen. And so we get out. I'm looking at it, and my axle on my trailer snapped in two. Axle, literally clean, plumb, snapped off. And I thought to myself, this is a good one right here. I'm looking at it. Brother Graham's trying to find it. He finally located the tire. It was clear off the highway and over the fence in someone's property. He had come back. And so we're on the one side. I'm like, we need to go grab that. And so we played Frogger. And we got across the highway, got that tire, and then taking it back. I'm like, man. So I'm trying to wheel that. I'm like waiting for the big enough time, trying to wheel this tire across the highway real quick. I don't even know if it was three or four lanes. It was a wide highway. And we get back over there, and we're looking at it, and we prayed. And I said, brother, I said, you think all my stuff can fit on your trailer? He says, I think it can. I said, well, I'm leaving my trailer here and on the side of the road, and we're going to load up and keep on moving. He said, all right, brother. Well, if you're okay with that, I said, that's what the Lord wants me to do. And so we unloaded the trailer, drive. I've never driven a four-wheeler on a highway like that, amen. I drove that thing around once we got a break in traffic and loaded it up on his, and we got everything else unloaded and got that trailer, everything off of it that I thought it was going to be gone. So in the meantime, a police officer pulled up. We talked to him about what we were planning to do, and he's like, that's fine. And through it all, he said this. He said, what's going to happen is, he said, within 24 hours, your trailer's going to get tagged. And he said, and then after that, within another 24, it's gonna get towed. It's gonna get taken into an impound, and you'll have to get it from there. And I was like, that's fine, whatever. And and he was on the other side of the highway. He wasn't gonna tag it right then. We were just talking across the barrier there. And so we got all that done. Everything. I'm disconnected. We're back on the road again. Everything of ours is on Brother Graham's trailer. We're cruising down the road. And I shoot a polo on there, that little polo group, and I said to the guys, I said, you ain't going to believe this, you know. Told them all that happened. I was just praising the Lord that we were able to, you know, be safe through it all. I mean, that could have really been bad, quite honestly, that happening. Other cars could have been involved. It could have really, really turned bad. And just praising the Lord. And anyway, headed down there. The rest of the trip was rather uneventful. Amen. We had enough event for the while. Amen. And we get down there, and this is kind of why I'm telling you the story. We get down there, and Brother Nichols said, he said, brother, he said, I just don't know how you're able to keep a good attitude through all that you've been through. And I said, well, I said, I don't know. I just have peace about what's going on, and I just trying to do right by God. And, you know, I don't know, you know. And him and Brother Thornsley were talking and all that. And so that night late, we were having our time of preaching, singing and preaching and all that. He turned around and he said to me, he said, would you get up and give testimony on how to stay calm when your whole life's falling apart? And he goes, I really need that. And so I was able to get up and give testimony and quoted James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. And just talked in about how, you know, sometimes things happen, but it's just life, you know. And I said, I don't know why this happened. Did it happen because we didn't pray? And the reality is, how much does get kept out of our lives because we pray? I don't know. I don't know if this was direct enemy attack. I don't know if it was just life. I don't know. But this, what I've found out is, if I keep a right attitude through hard times like that, like David said, God will reward me. And my thought, quite honestly, was that if that trailer was gone, that God must have just wanted to get that out of the way to give me a new trailer. That's my thought. That's how it works. What I found in Christian world, that's how it works. Loss doesn't mean loss. Loss means opening up of a slot so God can replace it with something better. And so it just gave testimony on and on. Throughout that week, those two guys, those two pastors, made reference to that first night's service and said, you don't know how much that helped me. You don't know how much that helped me. Okay. So we choose to leave Thursday night. It's just amazing how God works. We choose to leave Thursday night. The training is over. It's going to get real cold that night again. Some of the guys really weren't all that prepared. We would have been fine, but we just thought through it all. The cookie thing came up, the funeral, all of that. I'm thinking through that. And I thought, you know what? If we can get back Thursday night, then I have Friday to do some preparing for what is coming up this weekend. And so we did. Training was over. All of us decided to leave. So we had about two and a half hours. We all worked together, got everything done. And we got out of there. It's kind of difficult to get out of there because it rained real bad on Wednesday. So some of the vehicles were only two-wheel drive. Brother Kemp had a big 12-passenger van. I ended up having to pull it out. Anyway, it was a muddy mess. I loved it. My truck likes that stuff. Amen. And anyway, so we got out of there. We're going back down the road. I had dropped a pin on the highway, on my phone, on the highway where my trailer was. And I had this overwhelming thought that it's going to still be there. Now, mind you, that Monday is when it all happened. It's sitting on the side of the highway, a busy, busy highway just north of Lexington, Kentucky. And so we're cruising on the highway. I'm getting close. I said to Levi, I said, look and see if we see that trailer. So we're going by, and we're like, it's there. It is still there. And so there's no way we could grab it because it still has a broke axle. And so it was about 2 hours and 20 minutes from home. We get home that night. It was late. It was about 12:30, 1 o'clock. Dana wouldn't know. She was sleeping. And we get home, and I actually unloaded all my stuff. I unpacked my stuff. I'm up now. And so we get all that done. And the Lord just impressed upon me to be a good steward of what he gave me. And so I got to bed, I don't know what time, late 30. And the Lord just impressed upon my heart. He said, you're going to go back down there in the morning and you're going to pick up that trailer. And I was like, Lord, I need help. And he says, no, you don't. This is how you're going to do it. And it was that clear. And he basically told me what trailer to take, what to take to retrieve the trailer, how to get it up on there. It's things like that don't just move real easy. And it's heavy. It's a very, very heavy trailer. And I was like, all right, God. I said, if I go down there and it's not there, I'll just have a good time with you in the car. And so I load up, got out of here on time, 8 a.m. I got up at 6:30 that morning and got my normal routine done. I had to come over here, get some stuff done at the church. Gathered the stuff that I believe God wanted me to take. Took my other trailer, headed down the road, 8 a.m. I literally had a whole mapped out time frame laid out for my day. Sure enough, I'm pulling up on that thing right as about the time God said I would. And I got up there. It's there. Here's the thing. As I'm driving past all these cars, and they're all orange tagged, right? And I'm seeing tow truck, got the flatbeds. They're hauling cars. I don't know why, but it seemed like there was an abundance. And I'm driving up. I see. I'm like, it's there. I pull up. I pull behind it. There is not an orange tag on it. No orange tag on it. It's still there. We're talking at this point, we're Monday to Friday now. I pull up, the Lord blessed, I was able to get it up on, it's sitting out there now. And I said all that to say, God always has a plan. But what normally happens is, we, like the apostles, get our eyes on all the physical stuff going on around us. And we focus on that. And we fret about that. And I can't tell you how much peace I had about this whole situation. And how through the week, I didn't really even think about that whole thing. I knew there was no reason to. There was nothing I could do. I actually reached out to Ryan just to kind of touch base with him just to see if he would be available to come down, maybe grab it. He wasn't. And I was like, that's fine. It's no big deal. I just at least want to let you know. Because right now what I'm looking at, I'm going to leave that thing. And if it gets impounded, I'm going to let him keep it. Because it's going to cost too much to fix this thing, right? If I have to pay to get it out of impound and go retrieve it, and if it's just not worth it. I was just going to let it go. That was my mind. I was fine just letting it go. And when I was studying for this today, it just impressed upon me that God cares more about the spiritual than the physical. It's not that God doesn't have a plan for the physical. He does. But he cares more about the spiritual. And for me, God's typical command to me is, you just keep moving forward. If I've given you direction, I ain't changing my mind. Just keep. If you prayed about a decision here and you got direction from me here and I said do this, getting there may be difficult and there may be a lot of obstacles in the way, but you just keep moving forward and I'll deal with all of this. Just trust me. That's me. That's how God deals with me. And so in this situation, looking back at it now, I am like totally blown away how hindsight, I can look back now and I can see all these pieces, which in a sense started with, hey, you didn't pray. Right? And ended with, brother, I needed that. I needed that encouragement. I needed that help. Two, it's God just brought it all together. It's amazing. But if you were to say to me in the beginning, could you plan all that out and make all that? No. Because at every turn, it shouldn't work. But when you trust God and you follow God and you keep the spiritual in mind first, it is amazing how God just orchestrates the physical to just work out. I just want you to know, I'm just praising God for how things just work out when we allow Him to keep our eyes focused on the spiritual. Amen. Look back at our text, if you would, please. Mark chapter 6. Now, were those circumstances, is that what I had hoped would happen? No, not at all. A million times no. Did it affect my week? I believe it sobered me. I believe it did. I think I prayed more. I just spent more time with God. It was good. I had no cell service. I'd had to leave the property and drive for miles to get a cell signal, amen. I did that once a day. So I was kind of isolated, amen. Could I have turned back? And that was a discussion. You know what all this is going on? You know how we do. Maybe it's God's will. We just change direction. Maybe. If you're thinking physical. Or maybe it's God's will. You just keep pressing on. Amen. Maybe God had a better spiritual plan. You know, I could have counted the circumstances as God closing doors. Truly, a lot of doors seemingly shut. I could have got upset and made the trailer the most important thing, made the truck the most important thing. I could have done that. I could have lost my testimony with Jeremiah, my son Levi, and all the other preachers by getting upset. Yeah, that's an option. Amen. But that wasn't it. That wasn't it. The apostles, they were tired. They were tired physically, and they were worn out spiritually. And they are trying to rest. But the circumstances would not allow it. And on top of it all, they are all faced with impossible circumstances. I just say, on that trip, I felt like we were faced with pretty near impossible circumstances. I mean, that truck on the side of the road, my truck weighs 9,200 pounds, 9,200 pounds. To pick that thing up on the side of the highway with a little bottle jack, while semi-trucks that you could just about reach out and touch going by you, we had the boys at the other end kind of wave, moving people, doing this, and a lot of people listened and some didn't. The circumstances really seemed horrible. Trying to get the right size hardware, sockets, you name it, to break. I mean, we're talking bolts that, it was 13/16 is the head size on a bolt, if you know what that is. Trying to break these things and get all that apart on a highway, on a huge, on a big vehicle. This is seemingly, we were laughing. And what was funny about it was, when we were talking about it afterwards, I was like, Brother Graham, man, I enjoyed working with you. He's like, you did? I had a blast. That was a blast. Trying to figure that out on the side of the road in those circumstances, that was amazing. Amen? Looking back. At the time, it's like, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. Right? Anyway, long and short of it, just like the apostles grew weary physically, spiritually, no doubt we find ourselves in those places as well. What should they do? This is what they were taught to do that day. When you follow the spiritual and all the physical seems impossible, this is what you as a Christian should expect. A miracle from God. Say, what? That's what this text teaches us. When you focus on the spiritual and all the physical seems like there is no way this can work out, what you do is you say, you know what, God? I'm giving that to you. It's above my pay grade. And I am just going to focus on the spiritual and do right. I'll let you handle the physical. Just lead me. Just direct me. Just tell me what to do. Tell me where to go. Tell me when to get up. Tell me how to proceed. Just tell me those things, and I'll do it. Amen. But just keep my eyes on the spiritual. And then expect God will do a miracle. Look at Mark 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And by the way, he wasn't just teaching the people, he was teaching the disciples too, the apostles. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place. There's nothing here. And now the time is far past. It's getting late, Lord. Send them away that we may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy, that they may go in and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? I love this. It's like, what do you have? We were faced with that over and over. What do you have? I think we got it all. Nope, I'm going to go look again. Woo! Lo and behold, there it is. I didn't even know I brought that. There it is. What do you have? It says, go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. I wonder how many times we miss out on a physical multiplication miracle like this because we choose to focus on the physical instead of the spiritual. God, I lost my temper, but you know what, God? It's justified because I'm having a bad day. That's too bad. You missed out on a miracle. Man, that's too bad. God, I got all these things crumbling around me. My truck is broke. My trailer's broke. My this is broke. My family's this. My job is this. My that. It's all falling apart, Lord. Lord says, what do you have? What do you have right now? Lord, all we have is a couple pieces of bread and a couple fishes. It's all we got. Bring that. I'm not asking you to go get something new. Just look around. What do you have right now? This is what I got. That'll work. Grab that. Let's work with that. And when the Lord is involved, little is much when God is in it. And with that little, he met the need. See, I can't explain that. And neither could they, and neither can I. But God knows what he's doing. He wants us to focus on the spiritual needs around us. And that physical side, I don't know how, but it always does. It will just work out if you keep the physical in the back and the spiritual in the front. So I don't know why things happen like they do, but instead of being reactionary, learn to stay the course, keeping your eyes on the bigger picture and plan from God's perspective, and expect that God has a plan. He has a plan in my life and in your life. He is not up there going, oh no, now what am I going to do? They're on the side of the road. Now what? That's not God's perspective. Oh no, what am I going to do? This person just had this happen and this person just died. Now what? God is not up there fretting. He always has a plan and we can trust him. Amen. Expect that God has a plan and expect that God will, if need be, pull a miracle to pull it off. I actually, as I left that, my trailer, I picked my trailer up and was going down the road. By the way, what's funny is, you know, you're into all of this. And then Brother John had called, and I'm driving down the road. I'm getting real close to the trailer. I actually pulled up, backed up. I'm talking to Brother John on the trailer, just sitting there on the side of the road, having a conversation with him, finishing that up, amen. That was a blessing, amen. But it's so funny. I'm sitting there thinking, I got a lot of work to do. But you know what? That call is important. Amen. And the last thing John needs is for me to dump on him. And so I let him talk. We just communicated. It was great. I get done with that. I get off the exit. As I'm getting off the exit, Ryan calls me. And Ryan starts talking about an opportunity he had with a coworker. How he got to spend hours with him in the truck and what they talked. He was so excited. And time's ticking. I'm busy. I got all this set back here to do. Funeral. I've been gone all week. My workload, it's a little stacked. And so I pulled up to this gas station. I'm sitting there. I don't have one of those fancy ear things and all that. I actually, when I talk to people, I'm actually trying to stay engaged and just talk, whatever. But I had told him, I said, yeah, I'm at a gas station. I need to get off here and do that, whatever. But he kept talking. I'm like, you know what? He needs to talk. And he's so excited. He got called out. I know he doesn't want to be gone this week of all weeks. Amen. Be gone. I know. Janice doesn't want him gone this week of all weeks. Amen. But he got to witness to an old foreman, and the guy's asking questions, and I'm telling you, God is good, but we got to keep the spiritual in mind, and the physical is going to work out. Yeah, I sat at a gas pump probably for 20 minutes on the phone, hogging it up, amen, until he was, you know, till it was all good, and I don't care. That's just physical stuff. What he was talking about was important. Does that make sense? And you know, through it all, it worked. And that's what happens. It's what always happens. When you follow God, the spiritual takes precedence. Good things happen there. And the physical, it just always works out. Can't explain it. It's kind of miraculous in nature. But I can praise God for it. And I can give him the glory. And I could say, I am such an idiot, but you are so good at just working all these things out if I stay out of it. Amen. God has a plan. Always expect a miracle. If need be, God will do it. God will pull it off. The apostles were busy teaching. And now it's time for them to be taught how to live by faith. And watch God work through practical problems, and that's what he does, and that's what he wants us to get used to having him direct us through. As God's people, we're going to have plenty of physical problems to work through. But I praise the Lord that those physical problems are never meant to be the most important thing. Never. It's just a bunch of stuff going on around you. The most important thing are those precious people all around us that have real spiritual needs. And if we'll keep our eyes there, all that physical stuff's going to work out just fine. Amen. God, thank you, Lord, for today. And we thank you, God, that you always have a plan. And God, you're not limited. And if it means to pull it off, you need to do a miracle for the physical side to work out, you'll do it. And God, I believe I experienced that this last week. God, all I can do is thank you for that. And I thank you, God, that you were able to help some preachers this week and even help me and help our whole group, Lord. And Lord, it's amazing what you'll put us through so that we can be a help to others in this life. And God, I know many in this room are going through some hard things right now. But I know the most important part of everything we're going through are those precious people in our lives that need some spiritual help, some food, some leading from the Word of God. They just need to be taught. God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to get our eyes so fixed on the physical problems all around us that we lose sight and try to send away the people all around us. Thank you, God, for teaching us through this text today. Thank you for teaching me. I pray it be a help to all of us. I pray all this in Jesus' name.